Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to two twisters, Juno Dawson, and two drifters, Dylan B. Jones. Hi. Oh. Morning, Dylan. Hi. How are you?
Morning. I'm okay. I'm coming to you single and fabulous question mark this morning.
Oh, after. not like you've broken up with Chris, I hope.
No.
Phew.
That's
phew.
It. No.
That would have been a twist.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God. No, that's in reference to Carrie getting 3 hours of sleep. I have had, I think, 4 hours of sleep this morning.
Oh no. Did you go out after your, yes, after your theatre experience?
Yes, out. Which was great. It's great.
Very old London, like Carrie and Big are celebrating old New York. You went for a night of theatre and dancing.
I was listening to Moon River. I got a horse and carriage down Old Compton Street.
Oh, did you get one of those awful whatchamacall
rickshaw.
Them? Tuk-tuk things. Rickshaws.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I didn't. Thank God.
Just no.
So we're finally at the end of the longest season of any television show ever.
I cannot even remember starting this season. I think I was a different person when we started.
Was it pre-pandemic? No.
No. But so basically we added 10 episodes to this season, didn't we?
Yeah.
So instead of it being a Bijou 18 episode delight, it became a 28 episode
marathon.
Leviathan. that we've admirably, I think, got through. I mean, this has encapsulated actual at least one variant,
yes,
of coronavirus. This has seen us through Omicron, if nothing else.
Storm Eunice as well.
Storm Eunice, and now war on Ukraine.
Yes.
And if we have any Ukrainian listeners, we love you.
Yeah.
Look after yourselves. Take care.
Yeah.
What a time.
Yeah.
What a fucking time. You'd think after a global pandemic.
It just made me, I mean, and I'm hungover, so let's not get into this too deeply, but it just makes me just hopeless about, like, humans, doesn't it? Like, as soon as the pandemic's over, bang. But anyway.
Oh, let's do a war, yeah. I'm going to say, just when you thought existential dread might be
on its way
2021.
Out. Yeah.
No, we're into, let's just keep going with that.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yes.
This is, because we have to distract ourselves. The horror of real life clearly isn't going to let up. So let's distract ourselves,
yes,
with our silly little podcast.
Yes.
And our little television story. What else can you do? As Jerry Halliwell once memorably said, what else can you do? We come to the finale of season 4, I Heart NY. Dylan, do you have a potted synopsis?
I do. So, Carrie wants to have one last hurrah with Big before he takes a napper and moves to Napa. And it's her kind of side of things. It's her, like, figuring out whether she should sleep with him one last time and how that's going to pan out, and the other ladies giving her advice on that. Samantha is wearing a ridiculous wig. and chasing
I do
it
love
throughout.
Her sassy shag. I enjoy
the sassy shag. Miranda has a child, gives birth.
A child, yeah.
And Charlotte is kind of the B plot this week, isn't she?
She really is, bless her.
Yeah.
Although she so it's about. So the question that we're going to answer is about fate, but there's lots of stuff going, lots of puns around the word X. Mm. So she's viewing the Expressionists and runs into her ex while reliving the Expressionists, which apparently is a word I cannot say.
Very, like, quintessential Michael Patrick King writing in this one.
It was, but I did think this script is beautiful, and I do, and I know I'm not alone in saying this. I think this is one of the loveliest episodes there is. It's a lyrical, and of course there's the added poignancy, because this was the episode that was the tribute to the 9/11 attacks. Mm. There is a tribute to New York on the end credits, and I think Carrie's final monologue was rewritten to allude to the attack on the Twin Towers.
Interesting.
About people leaving your life. And obviously in series she's talking about Big, but this episode is about people leaving and of course people arriving in the form of Brady Brady.
And there's interesting, I noticed there's interesting stuff with seasons in this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
We move into autumn, I think.
Autumn for the first time, yeah. Like Patricia Fields, of course, always referred to her Eternal Spring and would always dress the characters for Eternal Spring. But yeah, for the first time, we experience a fall, a CGI leaf descends into Carrie Bradshaw's life and she wears a roll neck. But I think that again, that sense of the seasons changing adds to the kind of the lyricism of the episode.
Totally.
And clearly, you know, I've read Sarah Jessica Parker talking about the impact 9/11 had on her as a New Yorker. And I think it was something they were all very much feeling it's funny because this episode forms like a little duet with the next episode, Anchors Away, which is the first episode of season 5, which more than any of the other episodes wang on about New York in that kind of like New York is the fifth character kind of way. Mm. And there are some lovely lines. I love it when Carrie says to Mr. Big, "You can't leave New York. You're the Chrysler Building."
Yes, I wrote that in my notes.
The Chrysler Building would look all wrong outside of New York.
Yeah.
And she's right. The idea of Mr. Big going to California.
Well, it's much the same as Carrie leaving New York. Like, it's just wrong, isn't it? Which is why...
It's just weird.
Which is why we don't like the LA episodes. Because it's weird. I was going to say about the weather as well. Could it be represented like spring to autumn? Could it be like the end of innocence, maybe tied into, or is that reading into it too much? I don't know.
No, I think. So from what I can remember, again, my Bible is Sex and the City Kiss and Tell, which is a bright pink book that was published a very long time ago. I think it's out of print, but you might get lucky on a secondhand book selling site. I'm sure Max is in the next room shouting, "Plug World of Books." World of Books. And I think the bulk of the episode was written before 9/11, but then it was during post-production that 9/11 happened, and then obviously we know 9/11 happened midway through this season going out, which is when they took the Twin Towers off the introduction sequence. I don't think you are looking too into it. And I think the change of the season reflects the change in Carrie and Big's relationship that we've seen all season, where they have become friends plus, because they're not friends. You know, there is this incredible chemistry, and we saw that this week when they twist to Moon River and almost kiss. And then later they do kiss on a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah. I wrote in my notes, just magical chemistry, as always, between them. We love.
And we have to, I think going forth, we can't erase Chris Noth from the final two seasons of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
He's there. Yeah. Surprise, he's there. So I think we're going to have to separate Mr. Big, the fictional character,
yes,
from Chris Knauth, accused rapist.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to move on with that. And I think obviously it's up to our listeners as to whether they want to watch historical television episodes. But then, I mean, God, that's a really big conversation. What do we do with Buffy? You know, there's been allegations about Joss Whedon. You know, what do we do with...
I mean, at this point, you know, like, what do we do
Johnny
with
Johnny Depp films. Like, it's, yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I loved when... I really enjoyed Samantha saying, I'm always surprised when people leave New York. Where do they go?
Well, this is because you're a Londoner, Dylan.
yeah, true.
And in fact, and I'm just like, where could you possibly go? It's like, when I tell people I live in Worthing, they're so confused. They just don't understand. Like, but that's not London.
Is that like Manchester. Is that like zone 6? I don't know.
I still tell people for shorthand, you know, I live in Brighton.
Yeah.
Because people understand Brighton. So I still tell people that. But no, I love that Samantha. Like, where do they go? And I think especially because, I mean, if you weren't living in New York, although actually interesting, I wonder now that New York has become so uniquely unaffordable, it's interesting that other places have kind of become more hip. Mm. Like if I wanted to live somewhere really, really cool in America, I think I'd move to Portland in Oregon.
Yeah.
Which everybody says is mega queer and mega cool and great music scene. And
yeah,
I think, because I was always a Brooklyn baby when I used to go and stay with my friends in New York, and it was that real moment when Brooklyn was rapidly, rapidly gentrifying, and it's where, you know, it felt like the centre of the world was Brooklyn. But I don't even think Brooklyn's affordable for mortals anymore. I don't even know where real, and I think quite a successful author, but I think I'm still a real human. I don't know where I would live if I was to move to New York.
Mm.
And please, listeners, do get in touch. Are you a mortal, dare I say it, working class person who can afford to live in New York or Brooklyn? Is it possible? Answers on a postcard. I'm genuinely interested to know. Let us know.
We've got some New York listeners. We know.
We do. We love our New York listeners because we ask you questions all the time
and get our New York geography hopelessly wrong as
Thanks.
Well.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something about. Oh, that was it. One of the many things that has aged Sex and the City actually is the Manhattan chat, like them saying, "Oh, I wouldn't dream of leaving Manhattan." I imagine that's definitely changed now.
Yeah. I know, I think so. A writer friend of mine bought an apartment on like the upper West Side. So like super, super way, almost kind of in the Bronx kind of. But what always strikes me about Manhattan is it's just not very big.
Mm.
You know, so it figures that there is very little real estate on the island. And I remember the very first time I went to New York, I think in 2011, I was really, really surprised at how quickly you could get from one end to the other.
Mm.
Like even, I mean, if you've never been to London, it's such a mission. Like if you need to get from even, let's say, somewhere like Battersea, which is now on the tube, but when I lived there, it wasn't. If you had to get from Battersea, where I lived, to say like Dalston or Hoxton or Shoreditch,
oh, that's
where, like,
a good that's a good like 50 minutes.
Easily 50 minutes, yeah. If not an hour. Yeah, if not, and you know, and that's such a pain in the arse, whereas New York has always felt much easier to get around. But so I did have a friend, and I remember when my friend bought his apartment on the Upper West Side, I was like, oh, okay, so people can still do that. But even quite well-off people I know, like, instead are in Hoboken or further upstate.
Mm. So the question this week is, can you make a mistake and miss your fate?
Correct. Can you make a mistake and miss your fate? And it's such a funny one, isn't it? Because it doesn't massively apply to what's going on in their lives.
Mm.
It comes about from the brunch scene where it's very meta, where Miranda, Charlotte, and Samantha debate who will Carrie end up with.
Yeah, I wrote down
Charlotte is team Big, whereas Miranda is team Aiden.
Yeah, I wrote down that it was basically having, they were having the conversation, Miranda and Charlotte were having like the conversation that viewers have.
100%.
Which I enjoy.
Very, very knowing.
I enjoy it, sweet. And what does Carrie say? She's like, this is all very interesting information or something.
Well, because later on as well, I think, have we already had it where where Charlotte retrofits her soulmates? So everybody knows you get two soulmates.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you've had them, Big and Aiden. Oh, great. I guess I'm done then.
Yeah.
Convenient theories for Charlotte.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how we can answer that question because I don't really believe in fate. I think we sort of make... So fate... Right, hang on. We're coming to you quite early on a Saturday morning. let me wheel out and dust off my philosophy of religion A-level.
Okay.
Which I did do.
Teleological myth.
Exactly. So free will.
Yeah.
So fate is in opposition to free will, I think. Is that right? So if everything is predestined, if our futures are fated, it was always written in the stars that I would meet Max and get married, that I would transition, that I would write my books, that I would move here, that, you know, that you would meet Chris, all this stuff. It was all, and there was nothing we could do. Whatever we would have done, that is how our lives would have turned out. So free will, on the other hand, suggests that there is no fate, that we make our own fortune. And I subscribe to that. I believe, you know, I could have stayed as James Dawson. I could have stayed teaching. I could have quit writing after the first few rejection letters I got from agents. You know, I chose all my choices. And so I can't answer Carrie's question because I don't think there's a fate to miss.
I'm the same. I imagine it's hearing you kind of sum it up makes me kind of wish that I did believe in fate because it's kind of, well, it would take away my FOMO for a start. I have chronic FOMO. I have chronic FOMO, and if I believed in fate, I could just be like, well, you know, you didn't.
It's not meant for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you didn't do that because you weren't meant to, which must be really relaxing and cool. But yeah, I'm the same. I'm cynical. I don't believe in fate. Sorry, Carrie.
Because it's quite lazy as well, isn't it? It almost feels, if everything is pre-decided, it almost feels like you can just lie down and let life wash over.
Yeah, true. Relaxing.
So it feels like the quitters. Yeah, relaxing and lovely, like Red Sea flirting.
Yeah.
But it feels like a quitter's approach to life to me. Kind of just, well, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
It
could be healthy in a way, like acceptance, perhaps. Accepting your fate. I don't know.
It's not very Juno Dawson, is it? Just a what? I don't like hearing no, if I'm honest. So
me neither.
it just when I hit barriers and stumbling blocks, it just makes me push back harder. So now, maybe some people, and I'm sure there are people out there hearing this, which is that they will say that it was my fate to be so inclined that, you know, and that it was always pre-written that I would push back against the universe, kind of. So, I mean, and people could argue against that. And there are some people in the middle as well. There are some people who believe, when you add religion into the mixture as well, that God gave us free will, but of course God could see every possible outcome, and we're back in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, kind of. So it's come up, but this is why philosophy is so lovely, because it's exercise for your brain, and I understand why a couple of my friends did philosophy degrees, because it's like playing sort of intellectual ping pong, which is all fun until somebody starts trying to use it to restrict the rights of trans people.
Indeed.
That's where philosophy stops being cute. But if you're a woman, am I even human? Oh, shut the fuck up, is what we say to that. That's where you end those debates. You're just like, shh.
Yeah, stop.
It's mental chewing gum. Stop trying to take away my rights.
Mental chewing gum, what a phrase. I love that. One of my favourite ever Miranda moments in this episode when Carrie says, going out of business sex, what do we think? And Miranda says, no.
No.
And then Charlotte says, you had sex with Steve. And she says, uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, she's so, so good. So good. We'll come on to Miranda post-break. But also, before we move on from Carrie, can we talk about her glorious tan?
Her glorious tan?
Is that the way her tan? She was so tan. That is the most tanned Carrie has ever been.
Yeah.
She looks like she's been on a beach for 3 weeks.
I wonder if
her hair is golden.
I wonder if SJP had been on a beach for 3 weeks. Because I noticed that it was noticeable. Like, maybe.
She was so tan. Yeah. I mean, I know this was 2001, like the year of the Saint-Tropez.
Very Saint-Tropez, I was going to say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, her pretzel necklace. Did you spot that?
Yeah, hideous. Yeah. No, I can't.
Not good.
That's gruesome.
A mad moment.
Although I did. Patricia. I loved the very 80s neon dress that she wore when she was walking down the street with Samantha.
Yeah, that was cool.
And when she first clocks the Louboutins.
Yeah.
Those Louboutins are one of many, many sort of stunt shoes, you know, of key pieces of footwear for Carrie. I don't like this shoe.
No, they're
I think it looks like a jellyfish on her foot.
Yeah, they're kind of oddly, like, biological looking. I'm not sure if I like it. But you're right, because these get, obviously, Miranda's water breaks on these shoes.
On her labia shoes.
And then the Manolos, when Big dies in the shower, get soaked as well. Yeah, stunt shoes, you're right.
So stunt shoes, so she has some nicked in season five or six. She gets some shoes stolen.
Manolos again,
Tatum O'Neill's house. Manolos again.
Yeah.
The blue Manolos that Big proposes with. The labia Louboutins from this episode.
The labia Louboutins.
In fact, Carrie gets mugged for her shoes as well.
Yeah.
Carrie shoes. The Mary Janes. Yeah. The original Mary Janes that she gets sexually assaulted for in the last episode.
Yeah.
God, yeah, Carrie's footwear is so important to this show.
I guess it's used as, because we know, one of the main things we know about Carrie is how much she loves shoes. So I guess they're used to effect, aren't they?
Enid, with respect, shoes, I know.
Now, shoes, I know.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to say about Carrie. So she pashes Mr. Big on a horse and car. And then, just like that, he is gone.
Yeah.
He's off. And actually, he does not return permanently to New York until the end of Series 6.
Yeah, because we get a few phone calls, don't we, with him in Napa.
So actually, having said that, we now have to negotiate Chris Noth in Sex and the City. He's not really in it very much now.
Which is a relief.
I think possibly we could count on one hand the episodes he's in.
And she sees
going
him
forward.
On the book tour.
She does. We'll get to that. She goes to San Francisco. He comes to New York for heart surgery, and then we're in Endgame territory.
Yeah.
With 6 years of never being different, which is my favourite scene possibly in all of Sex and the City. Can't wait for that. I'm just going to act it out. I will do it as a dramatic reading.
Amazing.
And you can walk up and down this street because I don't live here.
Anymore. Yeah, so good. Yeah. I enjoyed in this episode, just when Carrie and Big, just when Carrie's like cute and she sort of performs for Big, like get it while it's hot with the pizza. I enjoyed that.
She's very cute. And again, this is what some people hate about Carrie, but one of the things I love about Carrie is that she lives her fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course she's in a horse-drawn carriage. I've been in a horse-drawn carriage through Central Park.
Oh, really? Was it because of Carrie?
It was because of Carrie. Of course it was because of Carrie. But it's really unfortunate. I will never show the pictures, not just because they were from pre-transition, but also I was with an ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
So it was my first time in New York and it was January and we were warned it was going to be cold. It actually wasn't that cold for New York standards.
Uh-huh.
So I'd kind of wrapped myself up in this big scarf and big coat, and this was pre-transition and I was wearing a hat. Hats did nothing for me when I had short hair. And I also had a blanket across my lap. So you can see where this is going. I literally looked like I was on a Make-A-Wish Foundation
holiday. You looked infirm.
I really did look like this was living out my dying wish. And that is, I think I still have the picture on Facebook somewhere, but I look really ill. It was not good. Wow. I needed a tan. I needed a Saint-Tropez.
This has reminded me, though, when we were talking about Carrie and her kind of, what a lot of people see as her ridiculous behaviours, something I really respect about Carrie, and something that I also do, and I think you do as well, is she fully commits to the mood. Like,
yes!
She fully invests in the vibe of whatever's going on. She dresses for it. She listens to the right music. She really gets into it. And we can only respect that in 2022, I think.
She's a theatre kid. Yeah. I mean, hello, Sarah Jessica Parker, like child Annie.
Did you see that photo?
Oh, bless her. And the thing is, this is a girl with curly hair. So why they needed to give her that wig is anybody's guess.
Curly.
But, yeah, I've always liked that about Carrie, that she will wear a ball gown, and that she really invests in the kind of the romance of New York City, because she is romantic. And I was surprised when she called Moon River cheesy or corny, because actually, you know, she is Breakfast at Tiffany's, she's Holly Golightly, she would stan that film and the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Audrey Hepburn lip-syncing for her life to Moon River on the fire escape outside the window.
Oh, yeah.
It's classic, not corny. Let's take a lovely break, and when we get back, we will talk about Raquel Welch.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week, we have been discussing season 4, episode 18, season finale, I Heart NY. We are also trying to work out if you can miss your fate, but neither of us really believe in fate, so you've come to the wrong place if you want to talk about destiny. Let's move on to Samantha, Richard Wright, and IKEA-looking artwork.
I wrote down that artwork is hideous. It's like,
would you hang that?
No, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away from Live, Laugh, Love, isn't it? It's in the same category.
Okay, it's not in the same. Come on, come on. It's not like a family slogan.
But it's to me, it's in that same category as, like, you know those. And I'm really sorry to any listeners who might have this kind of decor in the house. But
careful.
But when you go into someone's house and they've just got like a London skyline photograph for no reason, it's in that kind of category, I think, or like a Union Jack.
A lot of people have very portable. God, yeah, just the Union Jack. The, like, I love him, and I love Tom, and I love
Justin. I knew
Justin,
you were gonna say
but
Tom
Daly's had there are a lot of fucking Union Jacks in that flat. It's tricky, isn't it? Even Jerry Halliwell knew when she wore the Union Jack dress at the Brits that it had slight nationalist leanings, yeah. Which is why she put the peace sign on the back. Tricky. Yeah, no, it's a bit Mrs. Hinch, isn't it? But it's kind of even I don't think a Hinch household could even have red. But to my mind, it was very, very, when you go to IKEA and you just buy the shit that comes in the frame.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised, well, no, I'm not surprised, because of course Miranda was hobbled by the needs for the script and the need to break his heart.
Samantha.
Yeah, for Samantha. Sorry, what did I say?
Miranda.
Oh, sorry, that's Samantha. Fine. Then, because obviously it all builds up to now your heart's broken too. Oh, yeah.
I was not loving, I don't know if it was just my hangover because I watched it this morning. I was not loving this. It just, none of it rang true for me. Like, I didn't like seeing Samantha being so kind of, and maybe it's fair enough because it kind of gives an extra dimension to her character.
Mm.
But I just didn't buy it. It was strange seeing.
You do buy it, okay. Because, as you know, I'm an independent woman who does not need to smoke. And sometimes, with the wrong man, I go fucking nuts. And that is how now, in 40 years, I've come to recognise when it's not right.
Right.
And when I know it's not right, it's when I don a Raquel Welch sassy shag, a trench coat, and start sneaking around cities going, but you know, metaphorically, it's like trying to go through people's phones.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, and I see a bit of that with Richard and Samantha, and of course we'll come back to this next season as well, which is that Richard is bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily because, although actually no, because that's not fair. Richard has lied to her, actually. So this isn't, you know, if Richard had stuck to what he said originally, which is we're not the monotonous type, monogamous type, that I would have let Richard off the hook because he'd been honest with her and he'd never promised her monogamy. But actually he had promised her monogamy and then he gaslights her, which is unforgivable. He calls her crazy and says that, you know, if you keep on like this, I'm going to break up with you. You know, that woman was an interior designer, but of course he is eating her out, as Charlotte says next season.
I really enjoyed Samantha getting in the cab and saying, follow that car, and the cab driver being like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, quite. Although we've all wanted to say it. We've all wanted to jump in a cab and say, follow that car.
That was one of the more amazing moments in Detransition Baby. When I forgot the name of the character, but when she does that and the cab driver. When Reese does that. And she's like, follow the cab. And it's an Uber. And the Uber driver's like, no, I can't just... Oh, you need to put a journey in.
The 2022 evolution of follow that cab. I can't. You need to put an address in.
So good.
I do not know these words. I just follow a screen. I sympathise with Samantha because it's so against her character.
Yeah.
But I think that's a reflection of how toxic this relationship is and how poisoned she's been by it.
Mm.
But also it tells me a lot about why Samantha has been so reluctant to fall in love. Because I'm not going to name names, but I've got a couple of friends who have slightly almost opted out of dating because they don't like the person they become when they fall in love. And that's really, really sad to me because actually when you find a healthy relationship that works, and when someone is respectful of your needs, you know, you don't go crazy. I mean, I'm not going to say that in my marriage I never go crazy because the demon is in me, but and it could always jump out at any time. But the reason that I think this relationship has lasted so long and why I agreed to marry Max is because actually I can be the sanest, not sane, the sanest version of myself with Max. Whereas with some other guys that I've dated, hello, if you're listening to this podcast, and with some of the other guys, I went mad because the things that they were doing tipped me over the edge. I didn't feel secure and I didn't feel confident and I didn't feel like the best possible me. And I think that's the problem with Samantha and Richard and why later, no, we're skipping ahead, but with Smith Jarrett, he calls her out on her bullshit, you know, and says, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you know, she ends up in a relationship with someone who can bring out the best in her.
I think perhaps part of the reason I didn't buy it is because, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I'm not a fan of Richard.
Yes, he is absolutely evil.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Maria. Like, mm-hmm. It was, yeah, like I bought Samantha and Maria a lot more than I buy Samantha and Richard. I don't know. But yeah, it's things cheer up for Samantha from next season, right?
Yeah, well, we get a different... The next two seasons are quite different for Samantha.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like the Smith-Jared stuff because they feel that they preferred Samantha when she was free and single and having crazy sexual adventures.
Mm.
But I think for the actors and for the characters, you've got to move them somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's again why I can't be fully mad about the Che Diaz plotline, because... Apparently, all that was left for Steve and Miranda was dessert rituals.
Yeah.
Come on, we're making drama. We're supposed to be telling stories. You've got to take these characters somewhere,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Speaking of Che Diaz and Miranda Hobbs.
Yes.
And this is a woman who can give birth in silence.
I was just going to say.
But screams while being fingered.
Just something to
mull over.
Just a moderate gasp as she was giving birth to a child. I mean, that was ridiculous. but quite sweet.
By which, the screaming in the kitchen or the giving birth in Scientology silence.
Scientology silence. But sweet, and one of Sex and the City's more memorable moments when she just says Carrie and like mm-hmm. grips her hand. Like very yeah. like intense friendship stuff.
I buy that more than the screaming in the kitchen.
Yeah, totally. Brady, the birth of Brady. Brady Brady.
The birth of Brady. Yeah, Brady Brady. He's with us now. I do love Steve's two balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Although, can you see balls on a baby? Is that biologically accurate?
I think so.
Surely they'd be very tiny, like the little ends of cotton buds or yeah. something. I don't know. I've never birthed a male progeny, but I don't know. But I did, I mean, the Miranda plot this week is slightly there for the Carrie and Big stuff, isn't it? And obviously the gag, because it gets Carrie away from Big and the water breaking on the Louboutins. And so Miranda, but it changes the show. And I think I remember being, again, however old I was when this episode went out, 20 or whatever, and being like, huh, there's a baby now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of season 5 actually is about folding motherhood into the plot.
Yeah.
Because Carrie's right. Once, and obviously you are now 30, I am 40. You have got 10 years of your friends having babies now. This is what happens.
Wow.
And babies do change everything.
Yeah.
And it's a change you can't pretend isn't happening. You know, and I remember in my late kind of 20s, early 30s, when my friends started having babies, my heart did sink, not because the babies weren't cute and not because my friends weren't happy, but because things change.
Yeah.
And it truly is the end of the era of staying out till 3 a.m, you know, just like on a whim, kind of like, oh my God, should we go to Popstars? Yeah, okay, let's go to King's Cross for Popstars. Nope, because once the baby's around, you've got babysitters and feeding and nap times and...
Yeah.
You know, I now have, my friendship group is a mixture of people who have kids and people who don't have kids. But you evolve and, you know, you factor in your friends with kids in different ways and you're basically, things change. And change is always scary.
I guess.
And that's kind of what the end of this episode is about, which is things change.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, with the seasons changing as well. It's all very, it's all very change, very change. And doesn't Carrie say something about the seasons at the end? She wraps up saying something like, as we go into, she literally says something like, as we go into a new season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is, and that, I think that's why it was so important sooner or later that one of them really did need to have a kid.
Mm.
Because it would have been very strange to have a show about women in their 30s without motherhood being a really important motif. Now, obviously, Carrie doesn't have kids and won't now, I'm guessing. And there is, I mean, that is, you know, if there had been a second film and if in that second film there was a scene where Carrie and Big talk about the fact they have made a very adult decision to never have kids, I would have quite liked that scene.
Right.
Because I think so again, as we now enter the beginning of our 40s, the dawn of our 40s, I now have friends who, not in a, oh, it's too late now kind of way, in a, no, we decided not to.
Mm, yeah.
We got to the end of our 30s and we have now made a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Max have made that choice, although sometimes I like to freak him out by pretending I want a baby. It's really fun and I can keep it up for hours.
You should start coming home with like stuff, baby stuff.
It's like a little baby girl. Doesn't this make you want a child? If Max was clever, he would call my bluff and be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then accidentally you end up with one.
we were both trying to psych each other out, and that's how we have a baby now.
I was gonna say, and I think we've said this before, great choice for it to be Miranda as well, who has the baby.
Yes.
Because yeah. It's just the most interesting with her, because in a way she fits the least with having a baby. Mm-hmm. So I like that they made that decision. well, she fits more than Samantha, I guess.
Yeah, because that would have, I don't think I would have enjoyed that
plot.
That would have been quite a step too far. Yeah. A woman who doesn't believe in love suddenly deciding to have a child.
Yeah.
Would have been like, what? Which just leaves us really, I guess, with Charlotte and dating her slightly anti-Semitic new boyfriend.
Yes, and we get a glimpse of Bunny.
Oh, yeah, and that is the last we will see of Trey McDougal.
Yes.
Because, of course, we know that he gets cut from the end of season 5. Kyle MacLachlan is in deleted scenes. They are available on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
There was the scene at the... We'll come back to this in season 5, but at the pool party, where Samantha throws the melons through the window. Kyle MacLachlan filmed at that episode, and it would have been closure for Charlotte to very basically choose Harry over Trey, kind of. In that episode, she would have chosen him more overtly. But for whatever reason, they shot with Kyle MacLachlan. Kyle MacLachlan would have been paid, presumably handsomely, but he was cut.
Wow.
So that is the last time we see Trey McDougal. Mm. That's a wrap on Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah. And Bunny says, oh, I detest Monet.
I detest Monet. Such a sap.
Such a sap.
We've not seen the last of Bunny. Bunny comes back to contest Charlotte's ownership.
Oh, she does,
of
yes.
the apartment. So don't worry, we've got more Francis. we'll have a special memorial episode for Francis.
And the guy
who's still alive, of course.
Yes, legendary.
He's just 7,000 years old.
And the guy freaks out about the fact that Charlotte lives in a big apartment.
An upper, a classic six on the
a
upper
classic
east
six.
Side.
I don't know what a classic six means.
One moment, Dylan. I mean, I could have just easily Googled this, but again, I've got my Bible.
Oh yeah,
City Kiss and Tell. An apartment with 6 rooms, 2 bedrooms, a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, and a maid's room.
A classic six, God.
Frequently found on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. However, this book also defines it as an apartment a guy only buys if he's seriously considering marriage.
Ooh. So, yeah. I genuinely can't remember the last time I was in a property with more than 6 rooms. More than 5
Hang
rooms.
Hang on, what do I live in? So we've got 2 bedrooms, a lounge, a bathroom, and a kitchen.
Classic
so
5.
So we're in a classic 5, yeah. Mm.
So what to say about this episode? It's very nice episode.
It is. It's
pleasant.
It captures a mood.
Yes.
It feels like a season finale. Do you know what? If this had been the last episode, everything would have been very neatly resolved in a way.
Mm.
I'm very glad it's not the last episode. But it felt there was a real sense of. Do you know what I think? Because I suspect by this point, they knew the end was on the horizon. I suspect Sarah Jessica Parker in particular felt I don't know how much of this I've got left in me. You know, it's been phenomenally successful, but nothing lasts forever. And I wonder at this point if she and Michael Patrick King and Darren Star had said, right, there is every possibility by the end of this series, Sarah Jessica Parker was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I imagine when you get to season four, mm-hmm. is about when you start kind of asking questions like, how much longer, how much further are we going to go? Are we having two more seasons? Are we having one more? It's sort of past the midway point, isn't it? Season four, usually.
Yeah. And so I think that's what this episode's about. It's about we're moving into the final phase of Sex and the City, kind of. And I think, because obviously season five is going to be a very short season. There's only 8 episodes in it. And then season six is, I believe, 20 episodes, I want to say, or 21 or 22 episodes. So yeah, we only have, I think, 30 episodes of Sex and the City regular left.
Oh,
kind
my
of.
God. Well, it's fine. We've got season two of And Just Like That.
Do we?
Probably. I don't know. We don't know for sure.
I'm going to say they're not paid like normal actors. They're paid like film actors. So we'll see what happens with that. But of course, if there is a season two of And Just Like That, we would cover that as well. But yeah, we move into Endgame, the end game of Sex and the City, really. Not so much with series five, which was referred to as the bonus season. Mm-hmm. But certainly in season six, it all feels very, very end of days. Mm. So we are going to take a little break now because this has been a whopper between season four and Just Like That. We have done 30 episodes, I think, in the last 3 months.
For the sake of our sanity and our producer's sanity.
Oh, Martin.
Well. Shout out
please,
to Martin.
Yeah, send some love to Martin, who has been editing over weekends.
On Sunday mornings.
So, on Sunday mornings. So we're going to take a little break. We will be back in the summer with the bonus season. In the meantime, please pre-order my book, Her Majesty's Royal Coven, from Waterstones to get the neon yellow sprayed edges.
Amazing.
Things. If you don't pre-order, you're not really allowed to listen to the book anymore. I don't make the rules. That's just it's fate. That's what Carrie meant.
And keep writing to us and leaving reviews and everything.
Yeah, we love you. We love it when you get in touch.
Yeah.
So don't be sad. We will be back in a matter of weeks.
Yes.
With anchors away, with more special guests, we will be refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated,
refreshed.
And yeah, we can play a fun new game, which is Can You Tell Carrie's Pregnant? I really look forward to playing Can You Tell Carrie's Pregnant? Until then, have a very nice spring. Have a fun eternal spring with Patricia Fields. And we will see you in a mere few weeks.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.